Good day to you all. This is Paige Estrutori, bringing you the latest from the Australian financial services sector on behalf of Financial Services Online. Let's kick off with an update from the regrettable world of scams. The Australian Securities and Investments Commission, known better as ASIC, continues its tough stance against fraudulent practices infecting our investment space. In their recent crackdown, aided by the investment scams fusion cell of the National Anti-Scam Center, over 10,000 fraudulent websites and advertisers who have been posing threats since mid-2023 are no longer. Of these, 7,200 false investment platforms, including the high-profile quantum AI scam, have been obliterated. In the previous year alone, some 6,200 scam sites were nipped in the bud by the ASIC. Efforts to eradicate scams from the nation have understandably picked up pace, particularly since Australians reported scamming losses of over $192 million last year, and that's not even accounting for unreported cases. Encouragingly, ASIC's stern actions have yielded financial security for victims, to the tune of $46.6 million in civil penalties and justice served with 13 criminal convictions. Legal proceedings against prominent entities like HSBC Australia further underline ASIC's commitment to fortify financial security under the leadership of Chair Joe Longo. Speaking of security, the age-old adage says prevention is better than cure, and that rings true even in our insurance industry. The Insurance Council of Australia has proposed a substantial $30.15 billion flood defense fund in their election agenda. The primary aim is to beef up our defenses against floods, our most devastating national catastrophe. This long-term plan looks to incentivize collaboration among federal, New South Wales, Queensland, and Victorian governments, with a focus on infrastructure investment, property reinforcement, and buyback schemes over the next decade. ICA's strategic investment plan could prompt a welcome reduction in insurance premiums, especially for high-risk areas, and would serve as a fine example of proactive climate adaptation strategies nationally. We now turn our attention to the state of the housing market. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese recently clarified that he has abstained from using negative gearing since his ascension to office. With his $4 million holiday home currently under the public and media microscope, the spotlight also tones in on an ongoing national debate on the hot-button issue of property benefits. It's worth noting here that negative gearing allows property investors to offset losses against their taxable income. With Mr. Albanese's stance out in the open, we could well be on the cusp of a fresh wave of debate on housing affordability and the role of tax incentives therein. Our final story for the day comes from former Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe. In a recent interview, Lowe stressed upon the challenges we face in cost of living. Contrary to popular belief, he argued that the sticking point isn't as much high interest rates as it is stagnant productivity. With Treasurer Jim Chalmers and current RBA Governor Michelle Bullock also acknowledging the vital role of productivity to spur wage growth amidst inflation, Lowe's comments sure set the tone for tackling this economic challenge. So, that wraps up our roundup from the financial world for today, March 4th, 2025. Stay vigilant, stay invested. This is Paige Estrutori signing off for Financial Services Online. Until we meet again, you can keep abreast of all things finance on our website, financialservicesonline.com.au. Goodbye for now.